Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Of course he knew did it on that purpose. Would be the, he knew of, that would be the connection.
Of course
made.
He did it on purpose. The whole point is you should know better and know Mike Tomlin ain't, that's not who he is. You should know that's not Mike Tomlin's style. People that cover this stuff should already know that's not who Mike Tomlin is. Now, if you told me Rex Ryan said something like that and did something like that, you might go, okay. You might, until you know, you might raise the eyebrow a little higher. Because Rex is more inclined to do that, or his brother is more inclined to do that.
So then why did James Harrison do that? If he knew that would be the conclusion,
because it's James Harrison. The same reason why he could put a car on his back and walk down the street and videotape it for everybody to see. I mean, that's just who he is.
That boy's strong.
Man, he's strong.
He's strong as hell.
But that's who he is. He likes this. He likes to stir it.
Done a good job of it. It's found its way on our show. It's found its way across a number of shows on ESPN.
And the problem with that is, you know, LZ, trying to walk it back now. Now it's like, oh, Mike Tomlin must have called him and told him, man, stall me out. You know, you're going to get me in trouble.
Well,
he
gave himself an out because he didn't tell you what was in the envelope. He just said an envelope.
But see, you hear Travis say "and" because Travis don't believe that. Travis believes Mike Tomlin paid him, don't you, Travis?
No. Key, hold on a second. That's not why I was saying "eh." What I'm saying is James Harrison very clearly chose the word envelope because he knew exactly what we would all assume is in the envelope. He was not laying a trap to be tricky like that. He didn't want to say it, but he said it.
He played everybody is what he did. People went chasing. And he got it. He got the reaction that he wanted. That's why his quotes are cleaning it up. He's saying some profanity, some lace things that you can't say on air in his statement.
All right, we'll come back to James Harrison and his statement in a second. Right now, as promised, Amin El Hassan, ESPN front office insider, joining us on the Sprint.
Amin says,
Amin, Fight Island, does George have a chance against Key?
I'm going to say no, man. You know, everyone, this is why. Everyone's talking about Key's out of shape. That might be the case. That might be the case, but this is what I know, man. Having more weight doesn't make you, like, less of a fighter in that situation. It's not like George out here doing parkour and you know, and jujitsu and stuff. I know he claims he's got a black belt in some martial art, but that was a long time ago, man. So, I'm thinking like Key's reaching his size, and he's just going to lay on top of George, and that be it.
Man, I'm not worried about no damn George McDonald, man. Come on now. You know better than that. I'll beat the hell out of George. And George is a good dude. I wouldn't even want to do that to him. And this, like you said, this notion of this out of shape and I put on all this weight, man, I ain't big. Like, what are y'all looking like? Like, what are you looking at? Like, I just don't get
that belly.
No, I'm not. I'm so far from out of shape. It's ridiculous. I don't understand what you think I'm supposed to look like I did when I played football?
Nah, but you also don't look like you just stopped playing football either.
Yeah, but doesn't mean that you out of shape. I'm grown. I'm a grown ass man. I'm not a 22-year-old kid. I don't want to look 22.
You look pretty good at 22, just saying.
Yeah, but I don't want to look – I want to be grown. I want to grow. I don't want to be walking around looking 22 years. I want to look like a grown-ass man with kids.
You did it.
You know, opposed to one of them dudes like Raj running around at 48, 49, 50 years old trying to look like he 25, wearing jeans that hang off his butt. You know, like, come on, man. Like, you're not a rapper, man. You grown. You pay bills. You might as well, the earring hanging off the ear, all that. Man, come on, man. You're not in the fraternity no more. I can't, but look, if it was to ever happen, poor George. He running around the studio. Oh, I'm a triple belt, black belt. Okay, all right, man. That's all good till you got to get in that ring.
All right, with that in mind, Amin, have we gotten closer to the return of NBA basketball in the last week or so? Seeing everything that we've seen, the conference call that they had a week ago, the star players mm-hmm. getting together and saying that they want to play, that Florida is open, Arizona is open. Are we closer to NBA hoops?
Travis, I'm going to put it like this. I think, yes, we are closer, but I am more concerned that safety may not be a paramount priority. And I say that because some of the details that have emerged as far as, you know, what a return would be. First of all, this is the first time that Commissioner Silver has given us a concrete timetable of when a decision is going to be made. In the past, he said, hey, we're not going to have a decision for the rest of this month, maybe next month. This time, he's saying, we're going to have a decision, and it's going to come within 2 to 4 weeks, which is placed at some time in June. Having said that, a couple of details that came out from reporting from The Athletic was that, A, if a player tests positive, they're not going to shut it down. They're just going to quarantine that player. Well, we know that's probably not good enough because, A, you don't know how quickly the thing spreads, and, B, what if 5 people test positive? What if the Lakers, in the middle of a playoff series, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Dwight Howard, and Frank Vogel all test positive? What does that mean then, right? It's one thing to say, okay, we just quarantine that one guy, but what if it's a high-profile guy, or B, multiple guys from the same team? I think that's an issue. The other thing, and this one is probably even more concerning to me, the idea that they said it's not going to be a closed medical campus, meaning players and staff will be free to leave and come back, and they'll just get them tested on the way back in. Look, this thing is hard enough. The analogy I used the other day to describe it is imagine if I said, let's, we'll make you tightrope across the Grand Canyon. And then midway through, I said, you know what? I want you to juggle these oranges too, because we want oranges over here. Can you bring some oranges? Why are you including a level of difficulty over something that's already difficult? For what? Because somebody wants oranges? Or in this case, because some of the players are like, but I want to fly home and see my family and all that. I'm not trying to be heartless, but I'm telling you, this is an extenuating circumstance. And the way to handle it is not by making it more extenuating.
Well, I don't think that they would go back, into basketball without the medical experts' opinions, severe opinions, by way, and making sure that everything, all boxes are checked and everything is the way it's supposed to be, because health is at risk and health is the most important thing in all of what we are talking about. Yes, testing players and doing those sort of things is important, whether they – decide to allow them to leave the campus or not allow them to leave the campus. Things change on a day-to-day basis when you're having conversations and you're trying to figure things out. Nothing has been made in concrete, so they can always move the goalpost or foot here or foot there to get the results that they want at the end of the day. I certainly think that basketball is coming back and coming back sooner than what most people think.
Yeah, I mean, I thought for most of this shutdown that we've been putting safety and medical experts' advice at the forefront. And the stuff that came out in the last week was the first time I felt like, no, it's people counting money right now. These are the words of people who are counting money, money that's lost and money that might be lost in the future. You know, Jared Dudley had a tweet, and I thought he was right, but, you know, that doesn't – I don't think it invalidates my safety concerns, that if you give up on this season, the feeling that we're going to have is going to be felt for a couple seasons after, as the salary cap is going to drop. And not only that, the NBA has the right probably at that point to tear up the collective bargaining agreement and draw up a new one that might not be as favorable to players. Those are real concerns. I'm with him on that. At the same time, I don't know if risking player, staff, and family, most importantly, family safety, makes it worth it. Because at the end of the day, you guys know this, players are willing to bet on themselves when coming back from injury or some adverse thing. Think about Kevin Durant. Strains his calf early in the playoffs, works hard, says, I'm coming back. They tell him, look, these are the risks. He says, I'm okay with the risk. I take that into my own hands. And he tears his Achilles. But the reality is, he only tore his Achilles. He didn't tear the Achilles of all his teammates. He didn't tear the Achilles to the staff members. He didn't tear the Achilles to family members, his mother, his brother, and everybody extended within that circle. And I think that's what we're talking about here. It's one thing to say, I'll take the risk and put my life on the line for my livelihood. It's a different thing when you're saying, I'll take the risk, and I'll also take the risk of infecting everybody else.
Switching gears for a second, the last two episodes of The Last Dance are set to appear. I'm going to assume there's going to be, you know, at least a cursory mention of Michael Jordan's flu game against the Utah Jazz. Tomorrow's the 40th anniversary of Magic Johnson's historic performance as a rookie. In your opinion, which playoff
performance? No, because on the one hand, you've got a guy who's clearly not 100%. He's not faking it. He's not hamming it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just back up. I don't mean to compare just those two. I'm just in general, when you think about the finals, which performance just in general sticks out the most to you?
Those are a great two to start with. I throw in Isaiah Thomas, even though I don't believe they won that game, but a really bad ankle where he's literally hopping up and down the court on one leg and giving them buckets on the other end every single time down. That's one that comes to mind. Magic, obviously, being people forget, man. I think Magic Johnson might be one of the most underrated players of all time because he's such a nice guy. He's such a nice guy, and he's always giving out compliments, and he's always smiling. This dude was 20 years old in the NBA Finals and played every position and clinched Finals MVP. We're going head over heels about guys like Luka Doncic. And John Morant and all these guys. And look, they're great. They're great young players and people should be excited about. Magic Johnson was 20 years old and already had a college championship and an NBA title and a Finals MVP under his belt. That's something that, look, man, go through all the great players in history. You don't have too many who can say that on their resume. But also, yeah, Michael Jordan beating throwing up in timeouts, that doesn't sound like it's an easy thing to do either.
Amin El Hassan, ESPN front office insider. Amin, always a pleasure. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks, guys.
All right. The full James Harrison rebuttal is out. We'll get into this because he kind of seems like he wants to have it both ways. We'll get into that next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So James Harrison kind of kicked it off yesterday by saying that the G-est thing that Mike Tomlin ever did for him was give him an envelope after the hit on Muhammad Massaquoi. He was fined $75,000 for that hit. He was the fine was subsequently reduced to $50,000 later on. And then I think understandably, everybody jumped to there's money in the envelope and that maybe there was some sort of bounty situation going on. James Harrison is on Instagram saying that's not true. I'm going to read you some of this, guys. Y'all really comparing what I said to Bounty Gate. Mike T has never paid me for hurting someone or trying to hurt someone or put a bounty on anybody. If you knew the full story of what happened back then, you'd know that the BS fine for illegal play wasn't even penalized during the game. The league was getting pressure because the first concussion lawsuits were starting and they had to look like they cared about player safety all of a sudden. He goes on to say that the hypocrisy of the NFL, that they were selling this picture for $55 on the website and then they're turning around and finding guys. Maybe it wasn't a bounty, but the same thing is still true about it does indicate that Mike Tomlin was paying that fine because he felt it was an unfair penalty.
Yeah, but he ain't paying a $75,000 fine. He's not going to do that. I'm just telling you. It's just not going to happen. Now, maybe, you know, one thing that James Harrison can do is explain, well, what was in the envelope. That certainly would go a long ways. Instead of jumping from the envelope to the NFL and what the NFL is doing and how they're selling pitches and all that, if you don't jump there and you clarify exactly what you was trying to say, then people wouldn't assume. But I also understand James to get attention at times as well.
He hasn't said there wasn't money in the envelope. But that is not what it said. Even with this explanation, guys, what I'm understanding, or what at least my interpretation of this is
that he
wasn't
paying.
He wasn't paying me to hurt Muhammad Massaquoi. That's not what I get that. That it wasn't a bounty. Go out there and concuss that guy and I'll give you money. It wasn't that. But what this makes it sound like is, hey, I think the NFL is doing you wrong by fining you for that hit. Here's my contribution to the pool of money so you can pay that fine. That's what it sounds like. And that's what he's not saying. There wasn't money in the envelope.
Well, he just needs to say it and clean it up. Well, clear it up for everybody.
I think he just played us. As I said, his initial statement gave him an out. And then when the heat came, he took the out. And you can't really say, you can say it was inferred, but that makes it subjective. But you can't objectively say that he was saying Mike Tomlin paid me to do this.
That's the same thing I've been saying for a minute now, LZ, is he was playing everybody.
He's been
playing everybody the whole time.
This is more from James Harrison's statement. Everybody knew it. Even these same media people and all the fans that were sending money to me and the team to cover the fine. Again, at no time did Mike T ever suggest hurt anybody or they'd be rewarded for anything like that. He's doubling down by saying that Mike Tomlin helped contribute to pay the fine. That's what he's saying.
Maybe Mike Tomlin did help pay the fine, which is different than paying him to hurt somebody.
Of course
people
it is.
Or people are taking what he said as far as envelope and saying that he paid him to hurt the kid when that's not what it is.
I understand the distinction.
So, in fact, if he gave him money for his fine, I'm okay with that. He lost money. Here you go, man.
Can you do that? Is that not a violation as well?
No, I don't think that's a violation. I don't think that's a violation at all. It's just like what if he put a GoFundMe page together? Mike Tomlin not supposed to contribute to his GoFundMe page?
That would
right?
be a violation. The thing I like most about the post just the words. I love the fact that in the Instagram post, he actually included screen grabs from the NFL selling moments of impact.
Yeah, well, the NFL, we all know the NFL, LZ, we all know the NFL been selling stuff for years. That's not.
I love that.
They took jacked up off the air once they got heat with the concussions, but they were selling the videos. We get that. That was before where we are today. That is nothing new. We know that the NFL was making money, as they should have, off the pictures and off the videos until it got real serious.
It's not new.
That was part of their property.
He's reminding people of the hypocrisy of this conversation to begin with. That, to me,
It only becomes hypocrisy because of the concussion issues. If it was no concussion issues, they would still be selling stuff online. I mean, that's the reality of it. It ain't the league's fault that they was making money off of it. It's the league's property. They're going to benefit. Just like they sell jerseys, they sell T-shirts, they sell merchandise. That was part of their merchandising. Now, I don't have a problem with it.
But I like calling out the hypocrisy because it reminds me a lot of baseball that sold the steroid era until people turned on it, and then they pretended as if they were offended by the steroid era.
Well,
so does it go away?
It's the same thing in anything, though, LZ. You know that they're going to sell something all day long, like they say. You look up, and you can take all these medicines, over-the-counter stuff, but yet and still, at the bottom right-hand corner, it says, if this has heart failure, if this, but at the same time, you can still take it if you want to. I mean, it's the same thing.
Does this go away now? Now that James Harrison has explained this differently, is it something the NFL has to follow up on? Because you could hear Sean Payton's frustration with this yesterday, that he clearly has an exposed nerve about what happened with him and Bounty Gate several years ago. He lost millions of dollars in the process. Does this just kind of go away now and just kind of drift away, or does the NFL have to follow up?
It will go away, especially once Mike T come out and said, man, I helped the man pay for his fine because it was wrong. It'll go away then, because Mike T probably is going to come out and say, I gave him $5,000 to go along with whatever he was raising from other people. And I wanted to contribute to it because it was wrong. And I know it was wrong, and they know it was wrong.
There does seem to be
no problem. The difference between Sean and Greg Williams is they had tapes on them. It was they taped them. Greg Williams is up there talking about hurting people. They had the audio or whatever. They had it. It was right there. So the evidence is different. Where we assume, based on him saying envelope, people ran to it. Oh, we got some on Mike Tomlin. Look, who? Here's Mike Tomlin. We're going to put Mike Tomlin underneath.
Like, think Mike Tomlin even says anything? Does he even need to say anything, or does he just let this thing die its own life?
He's probably going to say something, but somebody going to ask him. Somebody, whether it's now or when the season starts.
I would ignore it. If I was his publicist or team PR person, I would tell him to ignore it. And if it's brought up, I would say that I wasn't aware of the story.
I know one thing we can't ignore. We can't ignore these warrants for these giant players. In the NFL, the giant player Baker, who out of Georgia, the corner, he down there robbing folks in Miami.
Allegedly.
I heard from a little bird, though, that they was gambling and the people was talking a little noise to him. So the individual that he was with is actually like a relative of his, and he went ham on him. Like, you know, he was ham on the people. And apparently the jury that he was supposed to take was his own jury. That's his watches and they watch his stuff. So it's kind of water's kind of murky right now. They said the person that I talked to told me that it was their watches, and the guys who claimed to get robbed was claiming that merchandise, hoping that the police give it back to them. So it's some stuff for people
that don't know the story, Key, Giants, DeAndre Baker, the Seahawks, Quentin Dunbar, they're wanted on 4 counts of armed robbery with a firearm, 4 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. So, I mean, maybe they were taking their own stuff back, but anytime you get aggravated robbery, armed
NFL,
robbery, it's not a good look for the NFL.
NFL, LZ. The NFL. Offseason. Ain't got nothing else better to do. Quarantine. They got bored.
Well, you know what you shouldn't do in quarantine, even if you're bored? Pet an alligator, because it can go very badly. I'll explain next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Raj, I think I'm going to need your input on this one, because I think you're the only one here on the show that is crazy enough to go touch a wild animal. There was a woman in South Carolina who
saw how you prefaced that? Whoa.
Yeah, there used to be a woman in South Carolina who saw an alligator by the pond, and she wanted to go over and take pictures of it and pet it. Well, what you think might have happened did happen. She was killed by the alligator after she tried to pet it. I mean, take me through the idea of, I see a prehistoric creature that all it does is swim and eat things, and
Travis,
I'm going to go over there and treat it like a golden retriever.
Travis,
I'm not going to pet a golden retriever.
Keyshawn took me to a Super Bowl party. There was such a creature available to be petted. I did not pet the creature. I'm not going to put anyone's business in the streets, but someone on their phone did.
Yeah, but here's what I would say to that.
I stayed away from the creature.
Here's what I would say to that. The trainer was there, and you had 500 people standing around. I'm not out there with a 20-foot alligator. That little thing, I'd have been able to pick that thing up and slam it on the ground. I wasn't worried about that.
Travis, I got fingers and I got hands.
But the thing is the trainer's right there. So I'm trusting the trainer who's a professional.
You don't even know that dude.
But he's a professional.
I don't care.
But it's a little bit different with a baby alligator that was probably, what you say, LZ, 10 foot, probably about 6 feet?
Maybe even
smaller than that. In sitting on top of the island in this particular home that we were in, and multiple people were around, and I was on the right side of the trainer who says, touch this way,
okay,
touch that way.
Hold on a second. You think if the trainer like gives it some command, it's going to let you go?
But at the end of the day, I did not touch the alligator because I didn't know that dude.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I can trust that alligator wasn't
alligator.
But that alligator's not wild like that. This particular person is in South Carolina walking out to a pond with no trainer at all, no nothing, by themselves.
Key, do you think that alligator in the house is like, oh, I'm a civilized alligator. I ain't like the outside. You know? I'm a house slave.
That alligator done been to that house multiple times for Super Bowl parties. I'm cool. That alligator realized I'm around a bunch of rich people up in here, and I'm good. I'm going to eat good. I ain't got to worry about going after none of them.
I think you are giving alligators too much credit for their
intellect. No, that alligator I'm giving credit. See, if that alligator was walking down the street by itself, I wouldn't touch it. Wouldn't come nowhere near it. But the fact of the matter is.
Key.
What?
You kept asking me, man, just go and touch the alligator. And I had never been more black in my life. I was like, dog, I ain't going near no alligator.
But the difference is, LZ. The
exotic
trainer.
Joe was around, so he felt safe.
Yeah.
Joe Exotic.
Yeah. I
didn't know that dude. I had just met that trainer like 5 seconds prior. I'm not putting my digits in front of his toy.
It was just like the year before I had the big snake on me. You see how big the snake was? I put it around my neck because the trainer was right there. The trainer knows what to do in a situation that goes south.
No, thank you. If that alligator gets a hold of you, the trainer's not going to go, release.
No, but he wasn't going to get a hold of me.
It wasn't German Shepherd.
It wasn't like that, though, Travis. It wasn't like I was poking him in the eye. I just rubbed the back of his tail, rubbed the top of his head, and moved on.
I saw the way he was looking, too. The alligator's giving everybody the side eye.
Yeah, the alligator did that. Yeah, the eyes wasn't right.
You know that Siegfried and Roy and those guys were really cool with those tigers right up until they weren't.
Yeah, but that was different. He's sitting around beating the tigers and whooping them. At some point, the tiger's going to get tired of you whooping his ass.
They were doing a magic show.
Training them wise to get them to do the
That's
commands.
That's my point. But you can't train a wild animal. It's a wild animal, for goodness sake.
I understand that. This alligator was not big.
I was so shocked. I was so shocked to see Keyshawn near that alligator. I was like, is this the toilet?
You didn't take a picture?
Because I did. We took a picture. The Keyshawn I know would say, I'm not doing that. So I was shocked.
But I was in an environment that was okay. I was good. I was safe in that environment. I was okay. That lady, poor lady in South Carolina she was not in an environment where she was safe. Okay? She went over there messing around with somebody that was hungry.
Is there a single creature that if you saw it out in your front yard and you didn't know who it belonged to, that you're walking out there and touching it?
No. I'm closing my doors and windows when I see squirrels crawling on my fence.
Travis, I sent you the pictures from Costa Rica where I was feeding a family of raccoons. They told me not to, but they were fine. They were all friendly.
That's a different idea. Now, when that raccoon bites your hand off, that's different.
It didn't.
It's just absolutely baffling to me. Like, remember when I had Casper with us, one of our remotes, and all the strangers kept coming up to pet Casper, my dog?
Yes.
I had to take my dog back to the hotel room because I know Casper. He don't know y'all, and you don't know him. You don't go to strange animals. I don't care how sweet and tender they might appear. You don't roll up on no animal and just assume that it's domesticated enough for you to pet it.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with touching up on the alligator though, with the trainer right there. Small one, small alligator. If it was big and if it was big as a couch and all that, I'm not touching it. But having a small little baby little deal and you touch it, I'm fine. I moved on. It was okay. It was a bunch of people.
Can you know those little alligator places down in Florida where you can go and they show you? Yeah. So I took Isaiah to one of those, but we set up high, and he wanted to go down a little bit closer to the alligator. So let me tell you something, boy. When the alligator goes alligator, we're going to need him to have about three or four
people.
I'm
not swimming with the dolphins. It's cute. You can take pictures and all. I'm not doing that. That sort of stuff I'm not doing. Because to me, they can do something to you even though people tell you they're not going to do nothing to you. I'm like, no, I'm good. Out in the water with the whales. Oh, the whales don't like you, fool. Okay. Mm-hmm. Until he likes you, like you said, Travis. Until he likes you. Then it'll be a different conversation.
Yeah, you just shocked me. You just shocked me, Key. That's all.
It's, you know, alligator. But the young lady, I feel bad for her and her family. Just goes to show you, man, you got to stay away from them animals.
I want to feel bad. I want to feel bad for her, but I'm having a hard time getting all the way there. Because it's not like she was jogging and the alligator appeared and got her. No, she went to the alligator and was like, hey, how are you doing, cutie? You're so sweet. Like, it's just hard.
Yeah, you know, when you look at Joe Exotic and the things that Joe Exotic and his tigers, that sort of stuff is different, man. You can't – there's no way you can get out of the mouth of a tiger. And you, something bad is going to happen to you when you start doing that because you're beating them to try to train them to your commands. And at some point, they're going to get tired of you treating them like that. And the moment that you think is the coast is clear, that's exactly what I say.
Man, I wonder, like, at which point during the attack that she started thinking, oh, this is a bad idea.
Well, I think once the alligator probably got her and took her down to the ground, and when he's dragging you and shaking his, you know, shaking you around, it becomes very very apparent that you're getting ready to go down in a different way than you anticipated going in your life. So, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know how big the alligator was. It had to be rather large, I would say, to you know, attack the way it attacked. Because if it's small, you can fight a small one off, I'm pretty sure. A couple kicks, punches here and there, and you might be able to get away. But a big one, it ain't going to feel anything, and the strength that they have and they display up on you is more severe than what you got in your arms or your legs or whatever piece of limb that they grabbing a hold of. I could almost promise you that.
I guess. We got George O'Donnell coming up with Crosstalk. He already said he can beat you up, Key. Let's see what he says about beating up an alligator.
So, George, are you the guy that's petting the alligator out in front of somebody else's house, or are you like me and LZ and you're running the opposite direction?
Listen, man, I grew up in Florida, and there's no way I am anywhere near an alligator that's alive. All right, the one way you don't stay alive in Florida is being around alligators too much.
Yeah, I think it's you, other than Key, who thinks that if the trainer's nearby, it's all good. The rest of us are staying away from alligators. Did you see people approach him down there?
I mean, some people are idiots. Yes, there are idiots everywhere. There happen to be plenty of more idiots in Florida because of the way, well, at least the perception is that, and sometimes it's reality.
Perception?
Wait. It's because there is a law. I've had this conversation with Billy Corbin, the documentarian, the famous documentarian from Miami, about how Florida has a law that all the records can be used. There, I don't remember the specifics of it. It's something to the effect that all public records can be used for news and documentaries and things of that nature. Like there's very few laws that allow you to kind of keep things hidden. So that's why there's always so many stories out of Florida. I know I probably didn't explain that great, but it has something to do with the laws there that allow us to have all these ridiculous stories.
I'm not blaming the law for her going out and petting the alligator.
Oh, no, she's an idiot. She's an idiot. Like, there's no
and
question
she's a South
there.
Carolina idiot. So yeah. she got hit in South Carolina.
Listen, when I was a kid, my parents took me to the Miccosukee Indian Reservation out there in the Everglades, and they had alligator wrestling. Like, we would watch it. Like, and it was just, like, terrifying to watch. But, yeah, it was – listen – my guess is a lot of people who were petting alligators for play or for entertainment probably were missing some limb or two here or there over the years.
All right, let's stay in South Florida for a second. Are you excited about a Scarface remake?
Not really. Like, I'm kind of sort of excited for it only because the Coen brothers are attached to it, and I'm curious to see what their spin on this is. I just think it's hard to remake movies that the overwhelming majority, I know there are plenty of people like our friend Jemele Hill, who I've been fighting with for almost a decade, it feels like, about the merits of Scarface. But the most people think the movie's good, right? And most people at least think of it as a cult classic. And I just think it's hard to duplicate that. It's hard to remake a movie and make it better.
Well, here's the thing, though. That's the really funny part about this entire conversation. The Pacino Scarface is a remake of a Scarface.
Mm-hmm. So yes, about like, an Italian. Yes,
so they've already Scarfaced it once. So
right.
Like this notion of let's not do a remake of Scarface. Well, the Scarface you know is a remake of Scarface. So why not allow the same latitude in terms of creativity for the next 30 years, 40 years, just like he did with the original.
Sure, I understand that logic, but what I would say is, LZ, it's hard. It's already hard enough to make the remake good once. To make it twice is going to be, I would say, nearly impossible. But look, maybe I'm wrong. Like, again, the Coen brothers changed the dynamic here. At least that piqued my interest. I am curious to see who they're going to pick as the lead. Is it someone like Oscar Isaac, right?
Well, supposedly, Michael B. Jordan.
Is it really, though? I thought that was fake.
I think that's fake, but that's like the face that's floating around. I prefer Diego Luna or even Gael García Bernal. I wouldn't be upset with either one of those two actors. But I'm good with Michael B. Jordan, too, because if you're okay with the Italian doing it, then hell, why not have a black guy do it?
Well, here's what I would say. If you still want to go the Latino angle, look, I'm Cuban. There are plenty of black Cubans. You know what I'm saying? And there are plenty of black Dominicans.
I saw them down in Cuba.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just because he's black, that doesn't disqualify him. I know that people, I saw people reacting that way, and I was like, but then I also read that I heard that that was fake. So I don't know what to believe. He's an excellent actor, so I think he could pull it off. I don't think there's any doubt. But if you're going to go the Latino route, I think what they should do, unlike the previous time, even with Pacino, is actually hire a bunch of Latinos. How about that?
That would be good.
Yeah, as opposed to a bunch of dudes who were playing a bunch of Cuban guys. How about you actually hire a bunch of Latinos who can play Latinos? Like, that to me would probably make more sense.
That was just absolutely shocking, George. I can't imagine doing something like that. There's this new series on Netflix by Ryan Murphy called Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I just started watching it. Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
It has its own spin on like early days of like Hollywood right after the talkie movies. And one of my favorite scenes is there's this Asian American actress who's been cast to play like this Asian in this movie, and they're using makeup to try and make her look more Asian. And she said, "You don't have to make me look Asian. I already am Asian."
Yes, 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 yes. That's funny. By the way, where's Key today? I thought, you know, what, does the athlete not hang out with the regulars? Is that what that was happening here? He doesn't want to be on with me because I'm regular?
I think he was on with me earlier, and then I mentioned your name, and I think you might have frightened him with this whole Fighter Island conversation.
I heard the segment you guys were talking about it earlier, and I was laughing because it just he's taken it so like such a personal affront. I've never once said that in an actual street fight that I've actually said yesterday if he caught me, I'd be in trouble. What I've said is, in a boxing setting or an MMA setting where there's strategy, where you have to know what it's like to be in a ring, I think all those things are different, and that's what Ariel was mentioning yesterday. So, Key, if you're misinterpreting what I'm saying, I'm sorry, but I'd still take you in a ring, I think, if I had the right training and you didn't actually bear hug me.
Well, I'm going to let you two, bro hug it out. I'm out. This is Donald Show. Is up next. Have a fantastic weekend.